is the one we're waiting for. Huh? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله We are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir This Saturday, 15th day of Ramadan, 1438 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. Alhamdulillah, today, as usual, we shall continue from where we stopped. We're reading Surah Al-Imran, and then Surah Al-Imran, we read up to the 134th verse, am I correct? So inshallah ta'ala, we're starting from the 135th verse of Surah Al-Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those who will deserve al-jannah that is what we read yesterday we're concluding what we read yesterday those who will deserve al-jannah which Allah said u'iddat lil-muttaqin is now describing them, he's mentioning them, and he says, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ We have taken all of these. Now, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are good. المحسنون can have different meanings. Like we know, Malak Jibreel asked Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam concerning al-ihsan. And he says, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. So the first meaning of al-ihsan will be that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see Him. If you do not see Him, He sees you. So you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all devotion, with all sincerity, with all commitment, sense of commitment, so that you worship Him as though that would be your last opportunity. And then you worship Him as if you see Him, so that you are before Him and your attention is completely focused on Him. This is one. The way that we know the Salaf before us used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we talked about Urwa, who would be praying and they would come and cut his legs and he won't even notice. Now when somebody is praying, something is happening around him, he doesn't notice because his attention is completely before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves people who are like this. So it will take a lot of ihsan, this level of ihsan, for you to keep to these rules. If you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see Him, then you will be able to forgive those who offend you. Because you are doing it for Allah, whom you know is always watching you, and He knows what you think, and what your thoughts are, and what you seek, He knows. And how you are able to make sacrifices for Him, He knows. even before you act. So if you're doing it all for him, and you're conscious of the fact that he is always present, you'll be able to do that comfortably. And then you'll be able to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though you do not have enough. Because you have hope that when you give, Allah will give you more. You understand? This kind of ihsan will spur you to do all of this. When you are angry, you control your anger, because whatever you do, you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Then the second ihsan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah, right? وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْكٍ مِّمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ and be patient. وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ أي وَمَا أَجْرُ صَبْرِكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Nobody will reward your patience except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are patient, patience has no reward that you can count. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The patient have their rewards without limit. Nobody can count the reward that the patient gets. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says your fast is for him. Because fasting is patience. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ أي واستعينوا بالصيام والصلاة أو واستعينوا بالصوم والصلاة. Because صبر here is a soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, seek Allah's pleasure, seek Allah's help, I mean, through patience. And patience here is fasting. Fasting looks like the peak of patience. You deny yourself your desires for food, for water, for your wife. Every such desire you deny yourself. And fast for the sake of Allah. This is about the peak of the sacrifice that humans can make after jihad, in which you offer your whole life. This is one of the greatest forms of sacrifice that human beings can show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why fasting has no limited reward. When you perform salah in jama'ah, you have 27 rewards. You understand? When you recite the Quran for each harf, you have 10 rewards. Even though there is an ayah of the Quran you recite, and your rewards have no limit also. But then, every harf has a reward. 10 rewards. But fasting, any act of patience, that one has no reward at all that is counted on it. So you can rely, inshallah ta'ala, on one fast that you observed for the sake of Allah. Man sama imanan wahtisaban. If you fast, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasting as Allah wants you to fast, and you do it seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one fast alone can get you to Jannah. One fast that you do correctly, that you observe correctly, can take you to Jannah, can be your guarantee to Jannah. So do not joke with any opportunity to fast. Try as much as possible to maximize the reward that you obtain from your fast. It has no limit, and it's capable of eliminating all your sins. Because a fast can outweigh all the sins you have committed in your life. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more interested in your good deeds than in your sins. That's why he does not record your sins very fast. And he is so quick to erase your sins. But your good deeds, he records them before you do them. Once you intend to do a good deed, Allah begins to order the malaika to write a reward for you before you get to do it. And when you have done it, only shirk can get your good deeds to be wiped away. You see, even the kuffar, they do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do good deeds, reward is written. It's only when they die without iman that the rewards will come to vain. You understand? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يحب المحسنين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Nobody rewards your sabr except Allah. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِ. If the kuffar are mocking you, if the kuffar are humiliating you, if the kuffar are disturbing you with insults and all that, they are incarcerating the Muslims, they are killing the Muslims, they are doing this and that, they are calling you names, wasbir. Be patient. Especially if they are more powerful than you, Allah has tested you by giving them authority, be patient with them. Just continue to organize yourselves. Wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah. Nobody can reward your sabr except Allah. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Do not worry yourself. Do not get sad over what they do to you. وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْكٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Concerning their plots against you, do not be overburdened. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who fear Him, those who obey Him, and obey Him through seeking knowledge and finding it and acting upon knowledge, and obey Him sincerely, seeking only His reward. Allah loves those people. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are good. In this case, al-ihsan is taking care of the needs of others. Do we understand? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started by saying, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. So he ends it with that. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who are generous, those who are good to others, Allah loves them. And if Allah loves you, He forgives all your sins. If Allah loves you, He protects you. If Allah loves you, He enriches you. If Allah loves you, He makes people love you. At the end of the day. So what do you do to earn this love? Be loving too. And you can't be a muhsin to the people unless you forgive them so regularly. Unless you also care about what they go through. You are concerned about their level of poverty and you want to do something about it. All the time you are worrying about people. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam one day heard a sound, loud, loud sound at the outskirts of town. People were scared and he said, everybody cool down. I will go and see what it is and I'll take care of it on behalf of the others. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him a lot. Because Allah made him such a person that was so concerned about the condition of others. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. So you have to be like that too. You have to be very compassionate. You have to be merciful and forgiving in the way you deal with people. When you are like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you. You raise your rank. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And when He loves you, He will protect you. He will bless you. And He will make you loved by others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us. So Allah says,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says, after He has said, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Then He says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة, and those whom when they commit zina, because zina is fahisha. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة, when they commit any major sin, because major sins are also fahisha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in what is the name of the surah now? I think Surah An-Najm. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا. Oh, sorry. وَلِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions kabair al-ithmi, and then particularly he mentions wal-fawahish. Then he says illa al-lamam. Kabair al-ithmi, zina can be part of them. Kabair al-ithmi, qatlu al-nafs allati harram Allah, it can be part of them, and so on and so forth. Then he mentions fawahish different. Some ulama would say this is particularly talking about shirk. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fawahish, simply it's talking about a major sin. A sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests. وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ الْفَوَاحِشَ, right? وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those whom when they commit fahisha, either that they commit zina or they do something terrible which they detest, any of the kabair also can also be amongst the fawahish. So if they do something terrible, they regret it, aw zalamu anfusahum, or they have wronged themselves. They have wronged themselves. It's also a part of doing something terrible, committing a grave sin. ذَكَرُ اللَّهَ. They quickly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realize that they actually have done wrong. What do they do? فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They now seek Allah's forgiveness concerning that sin that they have committed. They seek Allah's forgiveness. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who forgives sins except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nobody forgives sins except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. And they are not obstinate in their sin. Whatever it is they did, immediately they realize that they did wrong, they are not obstinate in sin, meaning that they do not continue to sin even though they know. They try as much as possible to seek Allah's forgiveness immediately and make amends. Some other time it's possible for them again to get involved in the same sin. Again they seek Allah's forgiveness. But at least at the time they realize they have wronged themselves, they immediately seek Allah's forgiveness. They do not continue and say, oh, no problem, tomorrow I will repent, next tomorrow, and so on and so forth. They don't do that. It doesn't mean, however, that they can never repeat the same sin. It's possible that they sought Allah's forgiveness. Some other time they fell into the sin again. Again they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again Allah will forgive, because Allah is Al-Ghafoor Ar-Rahim. Like we'll see insha'Allah ta'ala. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Even though they know. Now, it is reported on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who said, "Inna rajulan adnaba dhanban." A man committed a sin. فقال, when he realized he had committed a sin, فقال, he said to Allah, Rabbi, O my Lord, إني أذنبت ذنبا فاغفره لي. Verily, I have committed a sin. And I know it's a sin. I've committed a sin. Oh Allah, please forgive me. So you see, when you say dua, it is highly recommended that you raise your palms and then you say, Rabbi, oh my Lord. When you're praying to Allah, call His name. People make the mistake that when they are praying to Allah, they begin to call the names of other people. They say, oh Allah, because of your prophet. Oh Allah, because of your awliya. Oh Allah, because of Sheikh Fulan and Fulan. This is not good. This is not recommended in Islam. If you listen to the ad'iyah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, you listen to the dua of Abu Bakr, Omar, Uthman, Ali, and all of them, they say, Rabbi, Rabbi. And even Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, when he is reporting the dua of some people, he says, Yaqulu, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. He says, oh Allah, oh my Lord, oh my Lord. And you see, it's again the same thing here. He is repeating that the man committed a sin. Inna rajulan aznaba zamban. He committed a sin. And he realized that he had committed a sin. So what did he say? Faqala, and he said, Rabbi inni aznabtu zamban faghfirhu li. Oh my Lord. He prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't call anybody's name. He said, oh my Lord, I have committed a sin. Please forgive me concerning that sin. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And Allah the Almighty and the Great said, عَبْدِي عَمِلَ ذَنْبًا. My servant has committed a sin. فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ. And he knew, he realized that he has a Lord who forgives sins. وَيَأْخُذُ بِهِ. And that Lord of his who forgives sins also punishes people concerning those sins if they do not repent. He knew that, and then he sought my forgiveness. So, قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِعَبْدِي. Therefore, I have forgiven my servant. ثُمَّ عَمِلَ ذَنْبًا آخَرٌ. And that man again committed a sin after some time. Committed another sin. You know, as long as you live, you will never be above sin. Almost every day you have to commit a sin. That's why every day you have to seek Allah's forgiveness. You understand? So some other day he committed another sin. فَقَالَ, he said again, رَبِّي إِنِّي عَمِلْتُ ذَنْبًا فَاغْفِرُهُ. Oh my Lord, I have again committed a sin. I have committed a sin. Please forgive me that sin. فَقَالَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most blessed and the most high, said, عَلِمَ عَبْدِي. My servant realized, أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا, that he has a Lord, يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ, who forgives sins. وَيَأْخُذُ بِهِ, and punishes people if they do not repent from their sins. قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِعَبْدِي. Verily, I have forgiven my servant. ثُمَّ عَمِلَ ذَنْبًا آخَرَ. And again, another time he committed another sin. So every day you are committing sins. And every day you are seeking Allah's forgiveness. And every day Allah is forgiving you. There is an authentic hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, reported by Al-Imam Ibn Majah. Al-Imam Al-Albani and other ulama have authenticated that hadith. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was doing the tafsir of a verse in Surah Ar-Rahman. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنِ. ف فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. So this ayah, كل يوم هو في شأن. رسول عليه الصلاة والسلام says, من شأنه أنه يغفر الذنوب ويفرج الكربة ويرفع قوما ويخفض الآخرين. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, he said from the shan of Allah, from the activities of Allah every day, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day is working, he never rests. Allah does not need to rest because he never gets tired. ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. So Allah never gets tired of everything that he does, because he does not need to get tired, because he never gets tired, he can never get tired. It's only we who get tired because we were created. He was not created, and so he never gets tired. So he says every day is in an activity, every time he's in an activity. Part of the activities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that every day he forgives sins. Every day he forgives sins, because every day there are sinners. Every day you sin. And so every day Allah forgives sins. And then every day you have a problem that is disturbing you. And every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearing people's problems, is ridding people of their problems, is making your heart light. Those burdens that are burdening you, overburdening your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightens your heart every day. So he takes away the problems and brings solutions. He takes away your problems and brings solutions. Every day, Allah is doing that. And then every day, there are some people whose ranks Allah raises. When they seek forgiveness, Allah raises their ranks and then he eliminates their sins. When they give people, Allah eliminates their poverty and then elevates them before him and then loves them and protects them because they have protected others. Every day Allah is doing that. And then there are some other people that Allah will cause to digress every day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause them to retrogress every day because they are wicked. Because they bring people down, Allah brings them down. Because they are wicked to people, Allah pays them in their wicked coins. Every day. Therefore, you use this hadith to know that you can always obtain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. So the third time that man sinned again, and then he said, oh Allah, فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي عَمِلْتُ ذَنْبًا فَغْفِرْهُ لِي فَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَبْدِي فقال الله عز وجل عبدي علم أنه أن له ربا يغفر الذنب ويأخذ به أشهدكم أني قد غفرت لعبدي فليعمل ما شاء. I call you to bear witness that I have forgiven that my servant, whatever it is he does. Since he is one who seeks forgiveness, I will never stop forgiving him. So your problem will be that you never seek forgiveness. You get to a point that you say, وَعْبُدَ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Say, worship your Lord until such a time that surety comes to you. You are now assured that you no longer have any sins. That's how the Sufiya, that is how they explain this verse. That's how they interpret this verse. You worship Allah until such a time that yaqeen has come to you. So from now on, you are a wali. There is no sin written against your name. So you can sleep with anybody's wife and say that you are removing the hair of dirt from her private part. You can commit all sorts of atrocities. You can embezzle money. You can do anything. You are free. This is what they say. That's why you see that in Sufiya, they do not worry too much about sins. Somebody borrowed money from another, and for quite some time he refused to pay back. And the man was pursuing him and saying, pay me my money, pay me my money. He was not paying. After some time, for some years, the man realized that this man does not want to pay back this sin. So he said, well, I think you are not ready to pay my my money. You're not ready to settle your debt. Therefore, I leave you with Allah. He said, oh, that is good. That is very good. Leave me with Allah. I have one word. Just one word. When I say it, you will pay me back with even your own good deeds. Because that word alone will settle all my debts. And then I will be the one now that you will be owing. My reward will be so much that my sins will be settled. My debt will be settled with just one word. Look at that. Maybe you say, ya tabata ya ilu. He will call a jinn and then all his sins will be forgiven. The debts of another person will be forgiven. But Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَاتَّقِ دَعَوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Be afraid of the dua of somebody you have oppressed, because there is no shield between that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once he prays, even if he is an idol worshipper, if he says, this person has oppressed me, oh Allah, punish him, there is no hijab between that dua and Allah. So be afraid of such dua. But you come out and say, ah, my sheikh has given me a word. Once I say it, it's settled. So I can do anything. I can sleep with your wife. I can kill your child. I can do anything I like. I can use your children to commit for sacrifice so that I make money. And there is no problem. I'll just say one dhikr and everything is settled. I go about with the tasbih and hitting one after the other, subha, and then all that you've done will be forgiven. That's why you see them. They do the isbal. They shave their beards. Their women do not wear hijab. They do everything that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says Muslims should not do, because they think they have an assurance. Once they just say some things, everything is over. And they can just go ahead and do whatever they like. But it's not so. It is not so, Allah. When you sin and you realize you have sinned, you seek Allah's forgiveness. You repent from that sin. What does it mean? You first of all promise never to get back to that sin. You regret it. If it is somebody's wealth you consumed, you return the person's money. That's a condition. So it's not just that you say astaghfirullah and everything is forgiven. No, it's not true, my brother. It's not true. You say it with your mouth, you act it with your limbs. You understand? When you say it, you mean it. And you do not intend to persist in that particular sin. But if you leave zina, there will be another sin that you may commit one day. You seek forgiveness concerning that. You have left that one, there may be another sin because you are imperfect. But you committed zina now. You say, astaghfirullah. Allah forgives you. The next 5 minutes, you see another woman, you're planning to commit zina with the same person. You say, astaghfirullah. You see another woman. You are not repentant. Because there is no regret in your heart. Do we understand? وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. What did he say? ذَكَرُ اللَّهَ. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They seek Allah's forgiveness concerning the sins that they have committed. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who forgives people except Allah? Nobody. But you see, there are people today, there are shuyukh today, that will be in their rooms throughout the year. Nobody will see them. Everything is done for them. They don't go to the market. They don't do any work, they don't go to any store, they don't sell anything, they don't buy. They just use the religion to eat. And they oppress people and tell people they have solutions to all their problems. And people come and worship them and give them lots of money. They're very rich. They dupe people. And they come out once in a year. When they come out, almost the whole time is with town is with them. They have to have security people all over them. And then people are following them. Women, married women will come out of their houses. and be in front of the house. They say they want to see the Sheikh. And people are bringing money, people are bringing food, people are bringing guinea corn, all the sufferings that they have gone through throughout the year. They got just 3 bags of guinea corn, they will give one to the Sheikh, believing that their sins will be forgiven. And when you give, the Sheikh will say, go, your sin is forgiven. She will say, Alhamdulillah, all those things I did in my life, he has forgiven me, I'm free. My sister, if only you knew that he has guaranteed you a ticket to Jahannam. For believing that somebody else can forgive your sin, he has made you a kafira. You wouldn't be thanking him, you would be cursing him, because he is destroying your life. On the day of resurrection, إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُا الْعَذَابَ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابُ. Those same people, يوم القيامة, go and say, oh Sheikh, but you forgave my sin on earth. How come they are going to punish me today? You say, do I know you? Come and get out of here. I don't know you. لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه. Doesn't have time for you again. You worshipped him here on the day of resurrection. You say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Go away. You are increasing to his problems, because he has enough problems already, and you are increasing his problems. He doesn't want to see you that day. So leave all those shuyuk. Hold on to Allah. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Who is capable of forgiving sins except Allah? When the Christians say, Jesus will forgive them, or they go to Mary's statue, forgive us, O Mother of God, this and that. Allahu al-Musta'an. There was no time that Allah permitted any such thing. That you seek something from other than Allah, seek forgiveness from other than Allah, there is no time that Allah permitted such things. Because all the Anbiya, anybody that you're going to seek forgiveness from, he seeks Allah's forgiveness. So if it were true, why shouldn't he just seek his own forgiveness? If it were true that he could forgive others, why does he also say Astaghfirullah? So we must be careful about this. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. And they are not obstinate in their sin. Allah does not love the people who will say, okay, I know it's a sin, but I'll continue a little time, I will stop. He should not say, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ التَّوْبَةَ. He shouldn't say, okay, tomorrow I will repent. وَلَا يَقُولَ حَتَّى يَهْدِيَنِ اللَّهِ. And he should never say, I will sin until Allah has forgiven me. That one, he is not ready to repent at all. But then he should also not say, okay, I will repent, but tomorrow, next tomorrow, and so on. A Muslim should not do any of this. You should not be obstinate in your sin. Just you realize that it's a sin, leave it and promise insha'Allah ta'ala that you will never get back to it. May Allah count us amongst those who repent. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They are not obstinate in their sins that they commit, even though they know it's a sin and they should stop. So all these things that make you continue to sin, wallahi, abandon them and just face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forgives the way nobody forgives. If it's a debt and you cannot pay, you don't have the wherewithal to pay, Allah knows. But Allah knows you have the intention of paying, only that you could never get the money. If you die like that, Allah will stand for you. If your people cannot pay the debt for you, Allah will stand for you. Because Allah knows you have the intention of paying. If you offended somebody, you wanted to seek his forgiveness, but you never got the opportunity. At the time you go to his house, they said he had died. He's no longer around to forgive you. But you had the intention of seeking his forgiveness, Allah will stand for you. So you don't really need to go to anybody to grant you any forgiveness. Unless you offended the person, then you go and say, please forgive me. That is compulsory. But you offended one person, you went to another and said, forgive me for the offense I committed against so-so person. How can he? The offense is not against him. The person you offended is the person you go to. If he is no longer alive, in the first place you would have said astaghfirullah, and then you go to that person to seek forgiveness, and he is no longer alive, trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah ta'ala, will stand for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always stand for us. So Allah says, So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين. These people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned here, الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكر الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يسروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. All these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, he says, أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم. Those, their recompense, what they deserve from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiveness from their Lord. وَجَنَّاتٌ and gardens. Gardens. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Gardens beneath which rivers flow. And they shall be in Al-Jannah forever. Nobody goes to Al-Jannah and comes out. Because Allah's mercy supersedes his torment, his punishment. But when Allah puts you in Jahannam, and you are a Muslim, he will bring you out to Al-Jannah because of his mercy. But once you have entered Al-Jannah, all your sins are wiped off, so the issue of coming back to hellfire does not arise. We human beings should be the same. You should appreciate the good of people more than you remember their bad. The good that people have done to you, you should appreciate it more than the bad that they have done to you. Because Allah appreciates our good more than our bad. If we want Allah's forgiveness, we should also be the same. وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. And good is the reward of those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he should be worshipped. Those are al-amilun. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, ma min abdin mu'minin yudhnibu dhanban fayuhsiru tuhura fayuhsinu tuhura thumma yaqumu fayusalli thumma yastaghfiru allaha illa ghafara allahu lah. Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi reported this hadith on the authority of Qutayba ibn Abi Uwana. And then he recited, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, till the end, until he got to this place, أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَجَنَّاتٌ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ. There is no servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يُذْنِبُ ذَنْبًا, who will commit a sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيُحْسِنُ الطُّهُورَ. And then he will go and perform ablution and make that ablution very good. إِسْبَغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ. Even when it is difficult to do that, you try to perform a very good ablution. So when you're performing ablution, be careful how you perform it. Make sure you perform it well. Because ablution alone in Islam washes away your sins. The sins you committed with your hands, as long as you are sorry about them and you are repentant, you wash your hands, the sin you committed with those hands will drop from your hands as water is dripping from your hands. Your face, the same thing. You wipe your head, the same thing. You wipe your ears, the same thing. You wash your feet, the same thing. After ablution, you come out like somebody who never committed a sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that ablution, you get up and perform two rakats. You perform salah, whether it is four rakat or two rakat or any salah, you perform salah. If it's time for dhuhr, you committed the sin, you're sorry about it, you come and perform ablution, you stand up to perform that salah. And after that, yastaghfirullah. And then you say, astaghfirullah. You know, after salah, the first thing you do is astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarak ta azal jalali wal ikram. Seek Allah's forgiveness, aware of what you're conscious of what you're saying, and really meaning to seek Allah's forgiveness. You do that, accept that Allah will forgive your sins. So your recompense will be Al-Jannah. Your recompense will be Al-Jannah. أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ. They deserve only Al-Jannah. مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ from their Lords. وَجَنَّات. They deserve forgiveness and Jannat, gardens from their Lord. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Beneath them rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And they shall be in there forever. وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. Good is the reward of those who engage in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are never reluctant to seek forgiveness concerning the sins that they have committed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. Then Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ. Sunan have gone before you. What are the sunan? What are the sunan that have gone before you? Atta ibn Abi Rabah says, شَرَائِعَ. Rulings, laws, decrees have gone before you. Musa was given his own laws. Isa was given his. Ibrahim was given his. Noah was given his. And so on and so forth. They went before you. Al-Kalbi says, مَضَتْ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ سُنَّةٌ وَمِنْهَاجٌ. For each people that had a Rasul, a messenger, they had their own rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. They had their own methodologies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to them through their prophets to the people. For each generation, it was like that. For Musa, it was different. For Isa, it was different. For Dawood, it was different. And so on and so forth. For Sulaiman, for those before Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, they had different rules because each Rasul comes to his people with a ruling that will abrogate the one before his. So they had their own, each generation. That's why we keep telling you, if you read that Yusuf's brothers and father bowed before him, that is not our Sharia. That is not our own Sharia. He came with his own Sharia, he has gone with his own Sharia. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam came to us with his. لِكُلِّ مِنْكُمْ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. For each of you we have apportioned a sharia and a manhaj, a methodology. This is your ruling and this is how to approach it. First of all, this is your ruling. Secondly, this is how to approach the ruling. So you don't just read a ruling and say, this is it, the way you understand it. No. Your prophet has to come with the approach to that ruling. How do you obey Allah concerning that which he has said? Allah says, Aqimu Salata. He told Moses that. He told Jesus that. He told Abraham that. He told Jacob that. He told all of those people. Zachariah, he told all of those people. But each came with his own method. Jesus used to fall on his face and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did he do it? Did he just say Allahu Akbar and straight he would fall on his face? Or did he perform ruku and sujood? That is not our own. He came with his, he has gone with his. In our own case, you first say Allahu Akbar, you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, you do this and do that, and then you perform ruku, you rise from the ruku, you perform sujood, you rise from the sujood, you perform sujood again, then you rise. That is our own. And that's what we take. Do we understand? So مَضَتْ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ سُنَّةٍ. For each ummah, their sunnah has gone with them. وَمِنْهَاجٍ. And their methodologies on how they should approach that sunnah. إِذَا اتَّبَعُوهَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. If they follow the sunnah that their prophet came with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with them. That's what Allah is talking about here. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ. Mujahid says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ بِالْهَلَاكِ فِي مَنْ كَذَّبَ قَبْلَكُمْ. It has gone before you, the sunnah that if a people sin against Allah, Allah will destroy them. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They sin against Allah, Allah sends a messenger, they disobey him, Allah will destroy them. But this ummah, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam prayed to Allah. He said, I sought three things. Allah granted me two, but he didn't grant me one. One of them is that I said, O Allah, do not destroy my people entirely, the whole Muslim nation. Do not destroy them with drought. Do not destroy them with quakes. Allah answered that. But I said, do not put their fitna between them. Allah did not accept that. Allah did not accept that. So, in our own case, Allah will not destroy the whole Muslims because of the sins that some of us commit. But then it was like that in the sunnah of the others before us. They committed sins, they refused to accept their prophets, Allah would destroy them. Says this is sunan that Allah is talking about in this ayah. وَقِيلَ سُنَنٌ أَيْ أُمَمٌ. People have gone before you. وَسُنَّةُ الْأُمَّةُ. So a sunnah here is referring to as al-ummah. So how many interpretations do we have now? The first of them is sharia. The second is sunnatun minhaj for each generation. The third is that it has gone before you, that a people sin against their prophet, refuse to accept him, Allah will destroy all of them. The fourth one is that sunnah is only referring to the people. That people have gone before you, and you have now come, you will not be different from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from his wrath. Allah will not destroy the whole of our nation, the Muslim nation, but time to time, Allah will destroy some people for their sins. Like the authentic hadith reported from one of the shuyukh of Bukhari, what is his name? Whom the likes of Yusuf al-Qardawi prefer to say that he was impetuous, and so they will not accept any hadith from him. He reported 10,000 ahadith. 9,600 of them are authentic. 400 of them he reported after ikhtilat. So these were after his books had been burnt, and so he could no longer remember a hadith very well. He reported 400 which were rejected. But 9,600 are acceptable. But these people will come and say they will not accept all his hadith because of what? because he reported the hadith that says Allah will destroy a people if they continue to make zina halal and then they engage in dancing and beating musical instruments, that Allah will destroy them and cause the earth to quake beneath them. They refuse to accept this hadith simply because it is against their whims. They want to play musical instruments. And this man has reported a hadith that says it is wrong, that Allah will destroy you if you continue to use them. So they say they dismiss all of his hadith. Ya'zam billah. So it will happen like that, but it will not be the whole of the ummah. But there are, once in a while, Allah will destroy people for such sins. If you do not desist from committing zina, Allah will send you a disease that will kill you like ants, like mosquitoes are killed by insecticides. The diseases, strange diseases that your fathers never knew about, they'll be coming and killing you like no man's business. You know, it was first AIDS. People were so afraid of it. Now there are so many people living with HIV you won't even know, because they are the anti-viral drugs and so on. Then hepatitis. That one too took people by surprise and was killing people. Now they say it's even curable. And then it's Ebola. Do you have a cure for Ebola? No cure for Ebola yet. Each time it comes, the whole world is afraid, because it spreads like wildfire and kills people anyhow. They will continue to come like that. Allah will punish you as a result of those things you have refused to desist from. But it will not be the entire Muslim ummah that will be consumed by that. Unlike the other people who are completely destroyed, like the people of Noah. It will not happen to us like that, but then it will still be happening. Allah will be destroying us because we are obstinate in our sins. May Allah forgive us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, قَدَ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Therefore, travel around the world and see what has happened to others before you, so that you take heed. You know, if you're insisting on committing a sin that Allah says you should not commit, remember that these people you're seeing is the same thing they did, and look at what Allah did to them. فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And see what happened to those who falsified. Who falsified the scripture. When the prophets came to them and told them things, they said it was a lie. They denied. They falsified them. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with them. So it's the same thing He will do to you if you do not repent. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us amongst those who will repent each time we discover we have sinned against Him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. We have run out of time again. So we'll stop here, inshaAllah ta'ala. The next time we'll continue. We read from what verse? 138. هذا بيان للناس وهدى وموعظة للمتقين. May Allah count us amongst al-muttaqeen. 139, that is. Hopefully we'll finish Ali Imran this year. Okay, any questions? Okay, no questions. Okay, Allahumma qasim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik, wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna biha jannatak, wa min al-yaqin ma tuhawwinu bihi alayna masa'ib ad-dunya. ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا، وجعله الوارث منا، وجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.